She was told by Satan that she would gain wisdom. That you learn about evil by doing it. But God says, no, you learn to avoid evil by obeying. And so, quite frankly, it wouldn't have mattered what the issue was. Anything that God had specifically commanded that human beings rejected and disobeyed would have become the basis for the fall of the human race. The entire human race fell because of disobedience. And throughout the rest of the Bible, God is in the process of bringing us back to a relationship to himself so that we can be in a place where, once again, we will continue to obey him. And the neat thing about heaven is, there'll be no conflict. All the effects of the fall, all of the dross of the sin will have been removed. So that instead of having the experience of Romans 7 when it comes to this matter of obedience, the good that I want to do, I don't do. Anybody have that experience? And the evil that I don't want to do, I do? Anybody have that experience? Well, if it is no longer, he says, no longer than me, the new me, but doing it, he said, must be the residue of sin that still resides within me. It's no longer I, but sin, he said, that continues to dwell within me. Sin is, after all, rebellion. Sin is, after all, disobedience. And so the whole of the Bible then revolves around this one issue. That if you're going to love the Lord, you're going to obey him. For your good, we just read in the passage. For your survival, we just read in this particular passage in Deuteronomy. So God's purpose in giving the commandments is not just to exact obedience. His purpose in giving the commandments is to make us into the kinds of persons he intended for us to be from the beginning. The commandments are the means whereby he molds us and builds us. It's obedience theology from beginning to end. If you still wonder whether it's obedience theology from beginning to end, I would point you to the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, what does the Lord have to say? He says, go into all the world, or as you're going into all the world, to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Here it comes, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All the way through. The great thing about heaven is that we will automatically do the will of the Lord. Do what is right. There will not be temptation to do what is wrong. That will have been taken away, and it will be, if you will, automatic. As a new Christian, I always wished that somehow obedience to the Lord could be automatic. That I wouldn't have this struggle all the time. Do you have any struggle? I have struggle. The sin is what produces the struggle. And it's constant because we live in a fallen world. But the purpose that God has is the same. The purpose is to make us over into the image of Jesus, to make us over into the kinds of persons he made us to be. And how does he get us there? He gives us graciously commandments. I've done a study of the four Gospels, and one of the goals that I have is to write a book called The Master's Touch, in which I'm going to talk about all the commandments of the Lord Jesus. I've identified about 90 different commandments in the four Gospels that Jesus himself gives. And I'm going to call that The Master's Touch. And the next book after that will be one in which we go through all the commandments contained in the Apostles. I'm going to call that The Apostles' Touch. And the final book will be a book of all the commandments found in the Old Testament. And that's going to be called The Prophet's Touch. The Master's Touch, The Apostles' Touch, The Prophet's Touch. If the Bible, from beginning to end, is a matter, it makes it a matter of obedience. This relationship to God is a matter of loving obedience. Why? Because God says, I want you to be something. I want to bless you. I want you to become something. And the way you're going to get there is by listening up. Listen up. Heed. Hear and heed the words that I'm giving you. It's so simple, and yet it's so complex. We are so ornery types. Sin has just made us into such rebels that if somebody tells you to do something, guess what you're going to naturally be prone to do? The opposite. There's nobody in this room is there who's a rebel, who tends to do the opposite of what they're told to do. You're not going to tell me. Is that not our natural response as human beings? To bridle against commandments. Now, in the military, I realize that you learn how to obey. You learn with some very evident penalties that will be suffered if you don't obey. So you learn that discipline. It doesn't mean that you like obeying, however. Go to the book of, not now, but in your own study, go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, that longest psalm of all, has to do with the Word of God. And you read over and over again, oh, how I love your statutes. Oh, how I love your laws. Oh, how I love your commandments. And that doesn't that sound foreign to you? How I love your rules. That doesn't sound natural. Folks, it isn't. It isn't natural. The final thing, besides affection for the Lord, acquisition through instruction and asking, application by doing what he says, is appreciation. You gain wisdom, believe it or not, through appreciation for the results of the obedience, and there are lots of promises in his word. Yes? Read it up to us. I want you to, as you see, it's from beginning to end, from the garden to the kingdom. Blessed are those who do his commandments. You know what happens is that the flesh causes us to turn God's theology of here is the blueprint into legalism. The human nature that we have causes us to view this as simply a set of rules. And it causes us to, because of sin within us, to bridle against a set of rules. Instead of viewing this as God had planned it, and as God had intended it, as the blueprint for living, the commandments are just, you know, let's not make it hard. This is the way to go. But there's a result. What if you go that way? What if you do what he says? What happens as a result? Well, turn to Proverbs again. And with this we'll close. We looked at affection for the Lord. We looked at acquisition of wisdom by instruction and by asking. We looked at application by doing what he says. And finally, there's this matter of appreciation. And turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, in this matter of acquiring wisdom. You didn't know that appreciation was a way to acquire wisdom, did you? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. Some people here are fond of jewelry. Notice in verse 15, she is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire, no one that you desire, compares with her. All the blessings, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. If you obey the Lord, if you do according to what he is telling you to do, his principles, then on the one hand he's saying, what? You're going to live longer. Well, I think that if Dr. Farrow were here, but there's some other people of a medical background who would affirm for us, would they not, that if you do in accordance with what you ought to do in terms of care of your health, then it's going to have, all things being equal, the tendency to prolong your life. And that's what he's saying here. Obeying God has a blessing. One of the blessings is longevity. In the left hand are riches and honor. How do you acquire wealth and keep it? Through wisdom. That's one of the things we're going to be looking at here in the book of Proverbs, is God has principles for actually how people acquire wealth and keep it. And it is through wisdom. It is through obedience.